Is there a metric that we can use to play off latency against file size? Because two of the techniques you talked about were combining everything into an image sprite and then cutting down the color depth in PNG. And those two, there's going to be a level of play between the two of them. Because obviously, the more elements you have in the sprite, the more colors you're going to need to represent them well.
Yeah.
Is that something you just have to do with testing, or is there
yes, like a rule? Yes, you have to test. There's no magic number. It depends on the sort of connection. Those vary greatly. It depends on the size of the whole file, because speed of download is different for larger files and smaller files. So you have to test it, but it's a few kilobytes.
Thank you.
Next question.
Okay. How do you conditional tags for, say, an IE6 star sheet fit into this? Is that something you still got to keep separate? And how is the processing overhead?
Well, that would be an extra request, and that's of course not very good. You could try using CSS selector hacks inside your style sheet.
Okay.
Or you could just give up on IE6. Serve it an extra file.
Find the power.
It's not going to be very fast, and I would watch you too.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm curious about the data protocol, as in data URI. As far as I'm aware, this allows you to embed any kind of file type as long as it's base64 encoded. Now, I know that base64 means that you get about one-third of the file size more.
Yes.
And it's not really supported by IE.
IE7 supported in IE8.
Yes.
Buggy, but.
Let's think more in a browser. What would be a better solution? Trying to download a separate sprite file and manage the sprites on their own, or trying to embed these little graphics, because obviously we're not going to big files in A64 as, let's say, inline elements in CSS, as an I put background URI data URL in
A64. One thing, base64 is not that awful if you compress your CSS file.
That is one.
So it's a matter of choice what browsers are targeting and what you find easier to work with, whether that's very, very long line in your CSS file or mucking with background position offsets. I think it would be about the same
amount of effort
and performance wise, it's pretty close.
So they're pretty much the same size on the different sizes.
But
same
in reality, you would still have to struggle with CSS fonts because all of
I know like the social media consultants tend to give us the suggestion of posting all our pictures on Flickr and then linking to them from our websites. Say for example, if I'm running a WordPress blog and I've got a bunch of pictures I want to include in my post, if I'm linking to them from Flickr, they're going to forward into your presentation,
pictures,
they're going to work slower than if they were on my server.
A bit slower, but pictures are not very critical. They're always loaded asynchronously, so it won't be disastrous. If you have just a few large illustrations, the difference won't be noticeable. But if you're using WordPress, use a WP cache plugin.
Yeah.
The same as
figures.
Figures
are slow and huge anyway. And again, they might load a few seconds after the rest of the page. So if you're embedding YouTube, that's okay. Default YouTube embed code gives you the actual embed tag, which doesn't block loading of the page.
Okay, since we still consider IE part of the equation, how do you go about, yes, I know how it sounds, how do you go about managing the CSS sprites? I mean, the best situation would be if each sprite could have a separate node that you could limit its size and so on, And there is a background clip property that we just Googled that seems...
Actually, background clip doesn't clip the background to a specified fragment. It only defines where you clip it to content part of it, or the border.
Oh, wicked. That means my first question is still valid. Okay, so how do we go about managing the CSS sprites? So the best situation would be if every sprite could have its own node, but let's say we need to have background
for some. If you're targeting IE, you have to have some spare element for the to cut out the part or just use element with the exact size you need. If you're targeting smarter browsers, you can use pseudo elements like before and after. So for every node, you get two extra elements. You give them content property, which is empty string, two quotes, nothing else, and position absolute, or width and height, and this will let you add those small images for me.
Yep.
So you advise to use PNGs over GIFs wherever you can?
Yeah. I think there's one exception if you're really obsessed about the smallest file. It's the one-by-one transparent pixel. GIF has a smaller header, and so that's one edge case when it's smaller.
Okay. Yes. The other thing was using PNG 8, when you go over to IE6, you know, sometimes it doesn't look quite as good as you want it to look.
Yeah.
Do you use a PNG fixed solution?
You could use it. Works the same with PNG 8 with alpha and PNG 24.
Because the problem I had on my last project, I made a decision to use PNGs everywhere, no GIFs. But the page started to get really quite slow in IE, and I was kind of wishing that.
You don't need PNG fix for PNGs that are like GIFs with the simple transparency. If image works as a GIF, it will work in IE just as well without any hacks. So you can just take all your GIFs, convert them to PNG files, and nothing will break, even in IE, and the files will be smaller except the one-by-one.
The trouble that we had was that the PNG fix applies to all .png files, so we had to rename some files to ones that we wanted
to fix. You have to be careful if you're using the filter that's limited to actually files with full alpha where you need it. Even if you don't use PNG fix, the 8-bit with alpha format doesn't get the gray background. It degrades to GIF-like transparency with full or no transparency. So most of the time, you don't really have to hack it. It will be tolerable in IE6. So if you're not trying to provide full experience for those few core users, then that's perfectly fine, and that's the easiest solution.
There was a question in the back.
Yeah, I was just wondering how on your how does all of those people make web mobile devices? Are there any of them that are more applicable? Are there any additional ones that you should take into consideration?
Which are applicable today. Those are things you still have to worry about. Once we get rid of IE7 and perhaps Opera catches up with rest of the browsers, having scripts at the end of the document won't be as critical as it is today. But you have to look out for all of this. And in the future, I don't think we'll have to worry about much more. I think as connections get faster, we'll have to worry less, and we'll still have to worry about some of those things. Async attribute in HTML5, once it will be supported, it will be easier to embed all the scripts in the head with async attribute. That's one thing I'm looking forward to.
Excuse me. I just wanted to quickly name my apologies. I missed the beginning. Did I hear you say that you should try and put image and
video files elsewhere, away from the actual domain name, away from the location, and serve them from a different location?
Yes. IE7, by default, downloads only two files at once from one hostname. So if you create another hostname, even if it's on the same server, even its virtual host, it will make IE7 double number of connections, which will make downloads faster, especially if you have a lot of images.
That could be a subdomain, could it? Or
it could be a subdomain, okay. Yeah.
How do you work around the security, the site server for accessing secure?
For images, there's no problem. Browsers accept images from any domain.
They'll accept it from any domain, but it has to be from the same security address.
No, for images, no. You can embed CSS scripts and images from another subdomain or another completely different domain.
Through CSS.
There's no security there.
Okay, so but you can't use those images on the actual page.
On the page. The only limitation is for AJAX, but that doesn't apply here. So you don't have to worry about the cross-domain policy. So that's pretty easy. You can just create images.yourdomain.com and serve all images from there.
How would you refer to the page?
You have to use full URL.
But that, I mean, we're web host providers. We do SSL certificates. Everything on that page has to be from the HTTPS, doesn't it?
Are we talking about HTTPS?
Yeah.
As long as everything is HTTPS, browser won't complain.
Okay, but
so you still have to. But actually, for HTTPS, that's a bit more tricky. You'd have to test whether this is an improvement because opening new HTTPS connections is expensive. So you might not want to have too many of them.
Okay.
Behind you.
You didn't mention streamlining HTML.
Sorry?
From the start. You didn't mention streamlining HTML from the start. I was wondering if that got fun with this sort of freely available, but you don't really need to.
You can do it if you want, but it's actually not that important. If you compress HTML, then Jizzix will do most of the work for you. HTML loads first, and if you're using a decent markup, it will be relatively small compared to all your huge JavaScript libraries and images and everything else.
Yeah. Just wondering the comparison of that, spending 3 hours on getting every image down to minimal size when you've got 300 divs on a page.
If you just want to spend time on one thing, merge all JavaScript files into one, put them at the end of the document. That's the biggest benefit. You might try to minify them than minifying CSS. Of course, it gives you some improvement if you minify HTML as well, but it's the most difficult, it's the dynamic part. You cannot just minify them once and save it somewhere on your site. You would have to filter it somehow.
Lowercase characters compressed by
if you use them everywhere, yes, they do. As long as you're consistent, JSON likes to have the smallest alphabet of different characters.
So if you had lowercase file class names, for example?
Yeah, if you have everything lowercase, that would be the best.
So I thought that if everything, a web developer, if I was using Y slope, that would give me everything I needed to know about my web page performance as per your presentation. Obviously not really sort of image compression, that sort of stuff. So is that true?
Not my software, so that's why I'm not deciding that.
So if I'm using YSlope, I'm not actually seeing everything that I need to be seeing with that.
I think YSLO will try to get you to use CDN too much, and it will complain about ads a lot. So there are some pop filters or things that you just cannot do anything about. And the domains that are affected by your ads.
I thought that YSLO doesn't give me that kind of order of loading that you showed in another tool.
That's in plain parallel.
isolate that in page speaking or which one?
I don't have reference.
Okay.
Of those, I like WebKit's inspector best. But simply because it has nice UI and doesn't make it seem like a rocket science.
Dave, you have a question?
I do. You showed us a link to your image optimizer. Compared to Smushy, what is that like?
It should be better because it uses all the tools that Smushy does, and you can add another one, PNG out. That's even better.
Right.
It's much slower, but it's
cool.
The best tool out there.
Yeah, because sometimes when I use Smushy, it changes the extensions. And is just shocking.
Yeah, my software doesn't do that.
You have
to just use Bing.
Yeah. That's right.
For typography with Siphon and Cipher and TypeKit and all these solutions, what's the best option for quicker learning pages?
The best option is not to use them. They unnecessarily slow things down for the obfuscation. If you just download free fonts from Font Squirrel and embed them and compress them, remember to enable JSIP for them, you will get better performance. Fonts are very tricky. You have to use very exact code to work around all the browser quirks. And still have to be careful because WebKit doesn't render any text before the font is loaded, and that's just awful. I don't know how they could publish this. Like that.
You mentioned that we should use a sRGB profile for our PNG files, but from my experience, when I used that profile, the colors on Mac looked quite different.
If you design image for sRGB. And then remove the profile,
only Safari reads the profile.
Yes, this color profile, and actually it's a gamma information, that's what breaks images. Because some browsers add just brightness of colors in PNG, so you get accurate colors in PNG, but they don't add just colors of anything else around it, so you get the difference. Let me finish. So if you optimize the file, this gamma information will be thrown out, and browser will not change brightness of your images, so they will look exactly like the colors around it. So you would get good colors in all browsers if you optimize pink files. And sRGB is just assumed by all the software, and all the monitors are sort of close to sRGB, maybe a little better. So that's just, if you're color managing your source images, that's what you should aim for. If you're not caring about color management, then you don't care. You just remove all the profiles to get browsers to preserve colors exactly. Well, exactly as they are in the file, maybe not exactly as perceived color. We can't get exactly perceived colors.
The image compression tools just remove the colors by
so convert. They don't convert. They
so
just throw
the colors.
They throw out profile. So that's why the best if your images are in sRGB first. So when the profile is thrown out, it won't change.
Yeah. Another question from you.
That was a bit of straight latency on the long connections like the US are pretty close to the limit, but on the other hand, Germany is only 2 milliseconds away from here. So there is some room for improvement on local connections. So in the future, if you will have to have sites that load instantly, query host will become even more important. And this is probably if you use things like Amazon's, which has two-thirds of their servers in the US. You have to be careful to actually get the servers that are in Europe.
Or similar thing.
you mentioned CDN earlier. Do you have a preview about using CDN?
I don't have preference for CDN.
Oh really? So do you print the recommend it or why not?
I'm not working with websites that are so large that they would need CDN. I'm not really happy with just a dedicated server with HTTP server like YZ or Nginx. So I'm building my own CDNs.
It's not so much the content, it's more just getting your static files near the endpoint, like near the users.
If you have global reach, that's beneficial because CDN will distribute your file around. If you're just for example targeting UK or Europe, you'll have fun with just one server.
So back to the previous point, CDN and GTM instance.
Yes, access DNS lookup and connection, you get work to kind of like the CDN first, so that's a good idea.
That's a question. OpenDNS, is that a bad thing?
That doesn't concern me as a creator of society.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
If you were to call jQuery, I'm fairly new to jQuery, is it better to call it from a remote location like Google, or is it better to download a copy and put it on, upload it to the server?
It's better to download, copy, and merge it with all your other files, so that you have only one file to download.
Okay.
So the size of jQuery after compression, after merging, will not be that big. With hosted libraries, that's a gamble. You have to find the most popular version of jQuery from the most popular hosting service to get the best chance of finding users with this cache.
Yeah. You talked about like merging JavaScript into one and merging like multi-CSS into one. So say I'm like 10 plugins, one is like 2 deploying, another is like people gather plugin, and jQuery and so much and so on. How maintainable is it if I try to squeeze it into one?
Sorry?
How maintainable is it if I try to squeeze it into one? Say tomorrow
That's why I suggest that you keep those files separate on your disk and work with separate files, but have some script that will merge it on demand when you publish a new version of the site, for example. Prepare a script. It could be a bash file, main file, or maybe a PHP script that is run offline, not from the server, but just online. With just one command, we'll merge and prepare all those files for you, so you don't have to repeat.
Yeah, and if you use some JavaScript function just on one specific page, like jQuery plugin for image gallery or something like that, are you still including that to your...
Yes, I think unless it's something really, really huge and really only one specific page, then you can just merge it with everything else, it will disappear in the crowd.
Okay.
Any more fans?
One more?
Okay.
How does this all impact on search engine optimization and your rankings? Does it?
Well, Google recently announced that they do include, they estimate speed and they include it in the ranking. It affects only 1% of the pages, so don't sweat about it too much if you just cannot optimize. I realize that if you have already a site that's deployed, has plenty of scripts, spent plenty of files, it's hard to change it overnight to just use one file everywhere. It won't ruin your ranking, no. But it's if you do want that 1% extra, you might try. And certainly it will improve users' impressions of the site. Think when you upgrade your computer and suddenly every click is faster, that how nice it feels. So that's what you can do to your website. Yeah.
You mentioned the async attribute in HTML5.
Yes.
Is that supported currently or just about?
It's supported in the latest Firefox versions. It's certainly in Nightly's. I haven't checked whether it has made to mainstream release yet. But it's coming there. It's coming.
This had a weird thought. I mean, considering that these HTTP requests are quite expensive in terms of performance, from that point of view, it makes sense to, if our CSS files are fairly small, perhaps paste them into the actual HTML pages.
Yes, you can do that, especially if you have a landing page for something like an ad, and you want users to instantly see. It's a good idea that you put everything into one HTML file. Also, another small tip, whenever you're using image backgrounds, also put solid color background, so page wouldn't change that much when picture loads later. You can even use that for embedded images for illustrations. Just you can approximate background color. If you're targeting your browsers, you can even approximate it with gradient. It will look really nice.
This especially makes sense for like mobile websites. Well,
this fancy CSS makes difference for iPhone websites, not necessarily for other browsers. Yeah, because PHP sends no cache headers. Well, doesn't support things like presuming cache validation, and if you use sessions, it will. The browser absolutely never cache it, so that is pretty bad for such an important file. If you really must, then you have to be extra careful. Disable the session cache limiter setting, and make sure you send a last modified header and send three or four stages when asked for it. So that requires some background reading. No, actually, this applies to most dynamic languages. They are just targeted for your dynamic websites, where webmasters usually don't like them to be cached too much. So this backfires for CSS, and you have to be extra careful. One more thing is overhead on your web server. Web servers are really, really good at serving static files. On Linux, it almost goes entirely through the kernel itself. But if you're not using dynamic language, it will launch another process, and there's a lot of communication. It just doesn't make sense to merge those files on every request if you can just save them like this.
You said that bad scripts are some of the worst offenders for performance.
Yeah.
Do you recommend any bad scripts friendly levels?
Sadly, I can't. I've looked even at the friendly, like the deck, and they're all making the same mistakes. Every single one of them uses document to try. That's a disaster. Maybe I'll start my own one.
Find the power.
Right, any other questions? If not, I think it's time to hit the bar, grab a few more drinks, and have some chat. Thank you guys for coming, and I hope to see a lot of you next month.
Thanks. Thank you very much.